Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, Simpiwe Dana, a South African songstress and multi-international award winner, believes music and tourism are natural bedfellows, and if well harnessed, can deliver the ultimate experience to the traveler. She has also, through her music, been a strong voice for feminism in the creative space. Good morning and welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm privileged to be joined by Simpiwe Dana, a South African songstress and a multi-international award winner. She's also an Afrofuturist and feminism creative advocate with her music. Welcome, Simpiwe.
Thank you so much, Kojo, for having me.
Tell me more about yourself.
A South African woman, a village girl, a composer, and an activist, education activist, pan-Africanism activist, so African unity activist, a feminist. And I do occasionally write. I had a column at some point, but most importantly, I am a musician. I'm a performer.
What was your inspiration? Getting into music. You are one particular thing that kind of inspired you to where you are now.
It would be church. I grew up in church, and I grew up in those charismatic churches, you know, where music is a very integral part of worship. So I grew up in church because my mom was a very staunch Christian. So that's where the love for music was cultivated in me. And though now I'm not religious anymore, I do acknowledge where I learned that music is an emotional aspect of, I guess, living.
Wow. So were you singing in a choir or in a group? Because for charismatic groups, they have all these choirs and vessels, etc.
Well, I mean, just in the crowd at first, I just enjoyed the praise and worship aspect of church. Okay. And then as I grew and my talent was more and more recognized, I think by the age of 12, I was leading a choir.
Amazing.
Yes, in church, and then also I was also at school. I then started to be in all the school choirs that there were at the time. And I guess the two kind of balanced things out for me, because the school choir helped me learn technique and the boring aspects of singing, you know. And then the church choir helped me learn the emotionality of music.
So, was it at the point of technique where you eventually will be the songstress that can combine Afro jazz and all of that, or it came natural in terms of the general music?
Yes, I actually get where you're coming from. Well, I think that the two worked hand in hand for me. But I do fall back a lot on my school choir teachings, especially when it comes to harmony, the construction of harmony. And then when it comes to emotion, I do lean quite a bit on my church background. So for me, they kind of balance themselves out very, very well. And therefore, I can come up with very interesting harmonies that no one would have thought would work together as a result of those two backgrounds.
Exactly, because sometimes the transition of your music, I mean, i.e. different ones, and then you're struggling to think how, you know, the two can come together from one particular musician. Wow.
Yes, and even when I play like with instrumentalists, it's very challenging for them. I mean, even my rhythms, they can be very challenging for them. And when I was younger, I used to have to fight a lot because they would want to change my harmonies so that they fit within what they understand scale to be, etc. And, you know, I had to put my foot down, you know. So When you work with me as an instrumentalist, you literally have to forget all the teachings that you know and just try and learn something new. Even as a drummer, same thing, because my rhythms are different. My one is in a different place than what we are used to or what you've been taught. You know, and that is due, you know, to my upbringing.
Okay.
I've not even brought in the aspect of my tradition, my culture.
Please bring it. Yes. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it plays a very, very important role. And I would even say, especially when it comes both, in fact, for me, I guess, in a way, combining choral music from school and choral music from church, the glue that made them, like, as unique as they are together, is my own personal background as a village girl who grew up in the village, you know, joining whatever crowd. Because every weekend, literally, there would be a procession of people singing and dancing and walking towards a certain house, because perhaps in that house there's a wedding going on, or there's like a lobola ceremony going on, or you know, a son has just come back from circumcision. You know, there was always something going on, and you saw all of these processions and people singing cultural songs, indigenous songs, or songs that are created by the community, but deeply rooted in who we are and our legacy as Africans. So literally, it's a combination of the three. But I guess because for me, the African part is so natural, I even forget to mention it, because this is who I am. This is how I grew up. So all these other things had to be learned, but this one, it came naturally.
Okay. Ah, interesting. Because I follow your music, and I'm really a big fan of your art. Now, we all know what the world is going through right now, and the COVID pandemic has not spared any sector. Okay. What's the situation like in South Africa, and you know, for music art like yourself?
Oh, it's quite dire. I won't lie. Most artists have not worked in at least 5 months. Most musicians have not worked in at least 5 months. And unfortunately, we fall outside the responsibilities of our governments, because we are seen as, what do you call it as again?
Leisure.
I forget the word now.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's basically people that, freelancers, yes. And when it comes to departments that deal strictly with us, even them, they're paying lip service and at best giving us peanuts to help us sustain ourselves during this time. So I feel very sad for my fellow musicians, because not all of us can survive this. Not all of us are in a position to survive 5 months without work.
Now, if you look at the Department of, I think, art and sports, right? If I'm right.
Yes.
They give up some relief package.
Yeah. Okay. That relief package literally, it's so minuscule. It's literally even less than I would make for one event. Much less. In fact, I actually am one of those who received that, and I'm putting on a show very, very soon. But literally, that money went into putting on the show. So after 5 months of work, to be given those kinds of funds, of not working, to be given those kinds of paltry funds, you know, it's literally a drop in the ocean of your debts. It does nothing at all. It does not even help you pay 1 month's debts. So it's literally
a tough time.
It's to save face. It's to save face for them, like to say that we are doing something, but in actual fact, they're not doing anything.
Okay. Now, I know that technology has become the in thing right now, and if you don't innovate, it's going to be a challenge. And most
yes,
of
and that has been the lesson with COVID now.
Yes. Now, how are your fans reacting to this with your virtual performance? I know you have one coming up, I think Sunday or something, right?
I have one coming up on Sunday, the 6th of September, which actually can be accessed, as far as I know, from anywhere in the world. If you buy the ticket. So we are learning that there's a life on the internet, and this is something that I even said to my record label when this first started, that our strength would be how we use the internet. Okay. How we befriend the internet and find ways, because now we physically cannot be in the same space, but communication is thriving online. So how are we going to tap into that for music as well? Because what the internet does also, it makes the world smaller.
Yes.
It breaks down so many barriers that keep us from each other as the international community. And record labels should have been jumping on that with this. For me, like COVID, if anything positive has come out of this really horrible time, it is that communication does not need to be physical for us as a people, you know, to be together. That's one. And secondly, business now is open to the rest of the world. We don't have to create all of these different contracts with different countries for us to enjoy each other's talents. The internet is there for that. It is open for anyone from all over the world.
Okay. I mean, the internet, of course, is going to complement the effort, because for music and for tourism, like we know, face-to-face and, you know, human-to-human, you cannot replace that. You know, that's okay. Now, it brings me to my next question, which is your Bamako album, music album. I mean, if I don't say that, album. Your Bamako, your latest release. Tell me more about that.
Bamako is named after the capital city of Mali.
Yes.
And the reason why I named it that, it was because I was paying ode to a country that has given so much to the world musically, both instrumentally and vocally. And I've loved music from West Africa in general for a really, really long time. And one of my favorite artists from West Africa, of many, is Salif Keita, Tomane Diabate, Ali Faka Touré. Those are one of my muses when it comes to being inspired musically. And I got an opportunity to work with the Mansa of Mali, Salif Keita, last year. And the experience of that, of being in studio with him and creating with him, is partly what inspired me to name the album Bamako, because of how it has produced so many beautiful musical children for the rest of the world to consume and enjoy.
Okay. In one of your media interviews, you know, you were quoted as saying that the matters of the heart, relationship, self-love, and better leadership on the continent are some of the themes that, you know, inspired you in that particular thing. Give me more insight into that.
Well, the album is quite dark in many ways, because I write on my own. I have my own studio at home.
Yeah,
So I wrote, before I went to Mali, I had already written all the vocals and also produced on the songs as well. So when I went to Mali, we were putting on like the finishing touches and making sure that it's got that West African flavor that I love and appreciate so much. But literally the songs were written by my lonesome at home. I would spend many, many hours in studio every day. I literally lived in the studio up to 20 hours a day, because I'm an insomniac as well, so I don't need much sleep. And during that time, I was also going through a lot personally, a lot of heartbreak, rejection, and abuse. And therefore that comes out in the album in songs like Kumnyama. Kumnyama means it's dark. Everything is dark, because I felt I was in a deep dark hole. To Gwegweleza, where I'm dealing with being a single parent and not getting any support from the father of my kids. And then there's Usikhonzile, which is the one about trying to get leaders to be accountable to their constituencies on the continent, and knowing that it starts with the kind of leadership that we have if you want real change on the continent, because the continent is rich, but that is without a doubt. It is how it is managed that is the problem, and the concessions that we also make to the previous powers that be that controlled our continent. And when I say that, I mean colonialists, etc. In South Africa, like, we had apartheid, which just recently ended 26 years ago, and how, like, we still pander to their whims to the detriment of our own people. So Sikhonzile is about that, and how our leaders then mimic our oppressors in how they handle leadership on the continent, which is how the poorest of the poor get even more impoverished through their leadership.
Okay, I get you. Now, I wanted to ask you this, that from where you sit, how do you see, you know, the connection between music and tourism, and how the two can work together to, you know, deliver the ultimate experience? Because think about the fact that someone is traveling to South Africa, okay? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we both as sectors are working in silos. But you come to a point that when it comes to entertainment and all of that, even though sometimes we don't measure or we don't assess the impact of that, how can we work together, music and tourism, to create the ultimate experience for the traveler?
Ooh. I actually love the fact that you said that you first heard my music on a Cuban flight.
Yes.
You know, like, because for me, it speaks to that, you know, cultural exchanges, whether like they be musical or fashion, etc. I once tried to do something like that at the AU, where I was a convener for the ASEAN Culture Chapter for Agenda 2063, where I convinced the then chairperson that excluding the arts from the rebuilding narrative for the continent is very much short-sighted, because the arts don't need any language. They unite people without needing a language of communication, without knowing the other people, without having to sit down and break bread with them.
Isn't that your connection?
Yes, it's actually a real connection, because they reach the emotional part of the human being. And if you can make someone feel something, they will already feel some kinship to you. So I was urging that we do a lot of cultural exchanges across the continent, that it should be part of the agenda to create spaces for artists to meet throughout the continent, and maybe choose different countries and cities every year. But we basically create these festivals that are not just about music, but about food as well, about fashion, about books, you know, etc., etc. So I literally we managed to get about 90 people from the 53 countries on the continent. We actually left that just one, because, you know, it was banned by the AU for being mischievous. So we had artists from all backgrounds, photographers, painters, musicians, writers, to come and create a way forward when it comes to how do we unite the continent. Because literally, as far as I'm concerned, the arts are the face of any country. That is how you get to learn how the pulse of any nation. It is how they express themselves. And expression is artistic in form. So back to your question, we need to do more cross-pollinations when it comes to getting to know each other as a people, more collaborations, but literally we need to have these concerts where it's an African concert and it travels the continent. And it's not just about music, it's about a lot of other artistic expressions. So we learn what makes each country, each city tick, that is different, you know. And then what you will find is that there are so many more synergies than there are differences in who we are as Africans.
Okay. No, that's you know, that's true. Tell me more about your activism, you know, through music.
I guess it's also how I structure my performances as well, but also most importantly, what I write about, the topics in my songs. So I also try to have translations of my songs online, because I realize that because of the language barrier, some of my messages may be lost. Okay. But I deal a lot with empowerment. If you think of Njiredi, for instance, it was about empowerment. I also deal a lot with self-awareness, self-love, self-appreciation.
Okay.
And those are things that I learned from reading on Steve Biko when I was very, very young, to love myself as an African and to understand the kind of work that I would need to do within myself to feel completely comfortable in my skin, because of how much has been taken away from my humanity, that I may succumb to thinking that I'm less than the next person as a result of how much I have lost. So I deal with those issues as well through my music. Okay. And then I deal with gender issues as well.
Yeah.
We have at some point to face culture and cultural and religious norms and how they've eroded our humanity as a people when it comes to gender relations. How it has taught us to devalue women to a point where it is easy to rape women, it is easy to kill women, it is easy to harass women on the streets without anyone being alarmed by it. And all of these things, looking at the root causes of these things and finding at the end of that cultural norms and religious norms.
Okay, exciting. Now, as from how far you've come, are you engaged in, you know, nurturing some talent?
Yes, I actually do try. I'm not saying I'm great at it, because it's only now that I feel like I am mature musically enough to take someone under my wing and develop their talent. Before that, I've been giving a lot of stages to up-and-coming artists, who some have gone on to become big names after my intervention. And just generally, I'm one of those that young artists who are trying to find a way will come to and say, advise us, do this, you know, like, what can we do? And I try my level best to advise them with whatever little knowledge that I have. But most importantly, I try and empower young artists, especially women artists.
Okay.
You know, and I actually try harder with women because I know how the industry is very harsh on them.
Okay, no, that's good. Now my last two questions is how do we use music as a social good, you know, for society?
I mean, for instance, if you remember what Bob Marley did back in the day, that concert in Zimbabwe that he did, like at the height of upheavals, like racial upheaval, music unites. If you think of what Lucky Dube was doing on the continent. Music unites, music gives hope, and music spreads love. And music preaches equality. Music basically makes people warm and fuzzy on the inside, that they actually may forget that they don't see your humanity and start to see it. Music has got that arresting factor.
Yeah, punch.
You right? know. That makes everyone want to be good.
Mm.
Is so that, again, if we put on more of those shows and we collaborate, and you know, we have a show of unity as African. I'm talking about African artists now, because our continent is shambles when it comes to unity, when it comes to a lot of things. But perhaps we are the generation to turn that around.
Okay, no, that's good and that's excellent. What was that stage that was your favorite stage performing, live performing?
Oh my God, okay, let me think. Actually, yes. My first ever performance.
Okay.
Well, let's say paying performance. The Cape Town Jazz Festival. I was still very, very young, 2005. I had just released an album the year before, and I didn't know the impact of my album at the time. I mean, those times there was hardly any social media. Was there even? There was no.
No, there was no social media. No.
Yeah. So like, there was no way of me gauging like how the public felt about my work. And that evening, I found out, because obviously I was a new actress. I was booked a very small stage, and I literally heard that there was lots of commotion outside, people forcing the doors to go in, broken bones, paramedics involved. That very same night, the organizers had to give me a second and bigger stage. Wow. So that those ones who didn't see my show would see me that very night, which is something that has never happened before, except with Miriam Makeba when she came back from exile.
Okay, so and we are built to be that. In all the pundits in South Africa and Africa, we are built to be the new Miriam Makeba. How do you feel?
That's very big shoes to fill.
When you read those articles, because, you know, remember, in your music career, there was a lot of pundits and industry players who saw you as a perfect fit. At least you tried to be in the shoes of Miriam Makeba. In fact, in one article, they said she has been hailed as a new Miriam Makeba. Did you read that?
Yes, no, that has been, following me all of my career, that comparison. And Mama Africa has got very big shoes.
Yeah.
And I am honored to be put in the same sentence as her. Okay. I'm very, very honored. She's done amazing work for this continent. She sacrificed a lot for this continent.
Yes.
And she was immensely talented to boot and a hard worker. So I really don't mind being compared to her. And I hope that one day I will have earned that comparison. Yes.
No, that's fine. Now, in wrapping up in 1 minute, can you do us the honors in giving us a minute line of Bamako?
Okay.
This is a
surprise. Okay. Kamo eta yo twa diva I mi moya ndi bona isizwe sivuta malanga ke na le mithandazo ai sasebenza siboniswa Israeli.
Amazing. Thank you, Simpi Wedena. It's been
an
incredible time with you, getting to understand who you are, your journey and all of that. And we appreciate you being on the Beer Tourism Podcast.
Thank you so much, Kojos. Thank you for having me.